Acts 19, verse 1, it says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him.'" That is, on Christ Jesus. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Verse 7, "Now the men were about 12 in all." Please pray with me. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would open up this passage of Scripture, open it up to our hearts. God, I pray for those that are here in person or online in the Zoom room, or even that will listen later on, Lord, that you please would empower each of us. Oh, Lord, we need your empowerment. That even like the people at Ephesus that we're reading about, God, I believe you are thinking of each and every one of us today. That we need your strength, God. Not just because this is a new year, but every day, God, we declare our weakness that we might receive your strength, your power. Lord, everything's about you. The gospel message is about what you had done by loving us and sending your only son, Jesus, who loved us and died on the cross for our sins. It's who he is. He's our great high priest. He's our final and only sin sacrifice. He did all the work. All we could do is, as it says here, believe. But we need to believe and receive this gifting of your Holy Spirit. We need your spiritual empowerment, Lord. We can't even exist in New York City as a Christian, shining the light of Jesus, unless you empower us, Father. And so we ask, we beg, we cry out to you, Father, please empower us. We ask in the name of Jesus, empower us, Lord, that people would see us, but they would see you through us. In our homes, in the places where we work, as we go through this city, and as you send us as missionaries beyond the city, wherever you take us, Lord, help us shine the light of Jesus Christ for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. So, as it opens up here, Paul is now in this area that we call Ephesus. Just showing you a map here. Hopefully you guys in Zoom can see it. If you have a Bible map, if you're just listening to my voice later on the recording, you can go to the back of your Bible. Many Bibles have a Bible map, but we're showing it here on the display. It's kind of neat to see. So, it opens up by telling us that Apollos was at Corinth, we see here in the map. Thank you. They're in the purple. And Paul, this is where it's great to see a map, because you can read this in one little verse and you think, oh, no big deal. It's a little blip. But that would have taken a long time to journey in one little verse. Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. That's not just next door. So while this guy Apollos was there in that region, perhaps these are the people that he preached to and got saved. But remember, he didn't know much until those that Paul had discipled actually took him aside and then taught him the way of the Lord Jesus Christ more accurately. So Paul comes upon some people that are, we don't know really where they are at in their walks. Later on, they will become disciples. He found them, though, and he asked them, look at this in verse 2, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So today we're going to talk about believe and receive. Believing and receiving. They are two separate, distinct things here. I didn't write this. Okay, the Holy Ghost wrote this, quoting Paul here. Notice again in verse 2. Your question might be just like the early people here in the region of Ephesus. We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. What? What are you talking about, Paul? So to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe that you are, we might say, number one, that you're a sinner. That just like the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's everybody, except for who? Except for Jesus. That's why you and I need Jesus. Everybody's a sinner. Even me. But we don't stay there. Okay, so we believe that we're sinners, but we also believe that Jesus is Messiah and that he died on the cross for your sins. He didn't just die on the cross. He wasn't just Messiah. He died on the cross as Messiah for your sins. You got to bridge the two. It's not just that you're a sinner and not just that someone named Jesus died, but he died for that reason, to pay for your sins. So we believe that he's our Savior who died on the cross for our sins. We believe we're sinners. However, he's our Savior. And now he makes us a saint, so to speak. Okay? Saint means holy. Saint means holy. And in believing, you and I must repent, turn away from those things, confess those sins. Lord, you died for these things. These sins murdered you. I need to turn away from those things. And then, repenting for my sins, God gives us a new life in Christ. I want to refer you to one of my favorite pictures. We actually have one of these in our church. A little butterfly. This is actually a real butterfly. By the way, if you take a look, I don't know if this thing's going to come down. Hopefully it's not. Yep. What color is that on this side? Blue. What color would you guess it is on the other side? Don't say you know. What color would you think it is on the other side? Black. What's that? Black. Any other guesses? Brown. Isn't that interesting? The beautiful creations that God created. That's not an optical illusion, and it's not painted. It's actually blue. I don't know what you call it. Iridescent blue? It's a real butterfly. Well, it's a real dead butterfly. And I love this. And it's actually brown on this side, and you guys can't see it here in Zoom room. I'm sorry. So it's blue on one side, and on the other side, I like how it's mounted here in the glass. You can see it's brown on the other side. Can you guys see it in the Zoom room? Thumbs up if you can see it. So notice on one side, some would say that if you see it in the forest, like flitting around, that those things are supposed to look kind of like eyes, I guess, for predators, birds, and so forth. But also, if it's just flitting around, if you're looking up at the trees, it almost looks like a falling leaf. Isn't that interesting? Now, some might say billions of years of evolution caused it to form things that look like eyes, and so that it can reflect the beautiful light, but it had learned through billions of years through trial and error to make itself look like a leaf so that it wouldn't get picked on. No, I don't think so. Survey says, ah! So God created that way. Actually, if you want to hand it around, if you guys want to take a look at it. So the butterfly, the reason why I want to point that out, and many of us Christians do, by the way, the word butterfly is not in the Bible, but you and I, we want to be able to follow Jesus. We want to turn away from our sins. We want his plan for our lives, and we become this new creation. A neat symbol in nature is, again, what we call the butterfly. Why? What did the butterfly start off as in its life? A caterpillar. We all kind of know that. If you look at those time-lapse photography things, they're kind of neat how they make this little cocoon. They go inside as if it's dead, right? And then it gnaws its way out, right? And struggles to come out. As it does, it'll dry its wings, and supposedly it then develops a strength, and I guess its little itty-bitty blood gets through the wings, and now it could actually have strength to do what? To fly, or else it's just a butter crawl, I guess you might call it. Okay. So this butterfly is in nature, is God's creation, one of the most beautiful pictures that God actually gives us of guess who? Guys, point around the room. Who in Christ is like the picture of the butterfly? Who? Point to yourself, all of us. That in Christ, your husband, your everybody, each and every one of us. My wife points like that. Why do you point like that?
Because if you point like this, you got three other finger pointing in your
direction. If you point with your finger, you got three pointing back at you, so she points like that. Married couples, take note. So the butterfly serves as a really neat picture of a new creation. It started off its life as a caterpillar. It now is dead to that old life. It now emerges anew as a new creation. Even its mouth, its mandible, how it eats and what it eats, its mode or method of transportation is totally transformed. In fact, we have a word that we use in English. What do you call this change? Metamorphosis. That's actually basically the Greek word. It's a metamorphosis that occurs. Just like what's occurred with you and I as Christians. Okay. Born again Christians. So in Christ, we're similar to the symbol of the butterfly. So there's a problem with you and I as we are this new creation. You and I, like the butterfly, we now are a new creation in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has passed away. We got memories, unfortunately, right? But we need to trash those memories. Ask God for the strength, the empowerment. God, you've taken away my ability to remember stuff as I get older. Can you take away those things and help me to develop new things as I chase you and throw away the old, especially where we're at in the calendar? Be gone, 2020. But there's a difference, though, between believing, like believing only, and receiving on top of that. Okay, we need to believe the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the Savior who died for our sins. Going further, just like the Christians at Ephesus, you and I must also receive the Holy Spirit. Why? And what does it have to do with the butterfly? Like the butterfly, you and I have to learn how to navigate life in this new creation. Amen? This new state we are in. This is the problem that we have, a huge problem. In fact, if you read many of the letters in the New Testament, address this problem. They'll say things like, as Paul writes in other letters, put off the old and put on the new. Repent away from your sins. Turn to follow the Lord, etc., etc. It's like that all throughout the New Testament. So as you and I see how Paul taught the Ephesians in the book of Ephesians, this is why I wanted to pause a little bit before we got into Acts 19. Because when we read here already, we see that, hey, the question's asked, like the people were asked by Paul at Ephesus, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And their thought was, we haven't even heard of him. What's the Holy Spirit? Okay. And that can happen. So it behooves us as teachers and preachers, those who herald the truth of God's word, preachers of truth like you and me, we need to know what the Bible actually says. And there's a reason for that. So if you take just a really quick overview of the book of Ephesians, right? The same people that Paul was speaking to in Acts 19. I wanted to kind of tease out a couple things here. One of them we see here in chapter 2, which is like our vision moving into this year. We learn, of course, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We know that. And then we get to verse 10. Without skipping a beat, goes right into verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Again, that word poem or poema. You're God's poem. You're his poetry. I love that. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. This speaks of who you are now in Christ, not the caterpillar, not the who you were in 2020 even, or before. Let that be gone and died and dead, right? And be gone, go away. So that you and I can move forward into 2022 and beyond. forget what the calendar even says, that you and I can repent from the sins, turn away, and stay turned away. Amen? So as we say, a 180, not a 360. 360 is neat if you're doing it as a surfer, as a skateboarder, ballerina, figure skating. A 360 as a Christian ain't no good. It's no good, right? Like the dog returns back to, you guys know that, it's vomit. You guys ever see that? We talk about puppies at home. My little Christina is always like, lately, she's like, puppy, puppy. Like, I made the mistake of showing her pictures of puppies and telling her, maybe one day, right? Now every day throughout the day, puppy, puppy. It's like, okay. You're marketing. You're trying to put the thought in my mind. If you ever had a dog, though, and they throw something up, if you don't get to it quick enough, what a lot of us know that they do. They just eat it back up. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's gross. Like a dog returning back to his vomit. All right, so we don't want to do that. We don't want to go there. So that's Ephesians chapter 2. So you learn that you've got a calling. It says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And again, let me take this time to simply say, did you know that before planet Earth was created, that God had a calling for your life? Many of us know that. Some of us need to be reminded of that. This is one of those very exact verses that, like the laser, pinpoints it. Not like the shotgun approach. Oh, yeah, God will use anybody. Yes, but specifically, give me a verse of the Bible in the New Testament. This is it. You are created in Christ Jesus for good works. So, Christian, what are those good works? And we need to prayerfully encourage each other, pray for one another, help one another. Amen? This is what church life should be doing. And then you go into chapter 3. Another one of my favorite verses from chapter 3 is the fact of, in verse 20, we're taught that God, quote, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Moving on to chapter 4, you can read the whole book later on, it's a small book. Chapter 4, you and I also learn, how is it we can walk out this calling that you are created in Christ Jesus for? Just like the butterflies created in this new, transformed life, it needs to learn how to navigate and live in its new life. It can't become a caterpillar anymore, can it? It literally, physically cannot. It's impossible. Just like you as a new creation in Christ, a Christian, you can't go and try to be and do how you used to be. It's like a pig getting, forgive me for the analogy, it's kind of a scriptural thing though, like a pig, we're all kind of unclean, and then he takes us and now he transforms us into sheep. And then you take that sheep, now you're a new creation. Imagine, the pig is now clean in God's eyes, now you're a sheep, Jesus is your good shepherd, and the pig's like, I'm not used to this. I'm used to the mud and cooling off in the mud. Let me just go jump in the mud. And the pig jumps in the mud, and what happens? Oh, I'm sorry, the lamb, the sheep jumps in the mud. What happens? Imagine. Think about it. It's all caked. You have wool on you now. And you're in the mud. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel the same. That's why the Christian even tries to go back and hang out with the homeboys, and like how I used to try to do. It's like, it doesn't feel right. I used to be a DJ. I remember playing music. I'm like, I can't play. These are trashy potty mouth songs. I can't do this anymore. You know what? Nobody had to tell me that. You know who told me that? It was the Holy Spirit who lived within me. I'm sitting there thinking, I can't do this. And I had a hard time even, you know, dealing with in like nightclub life when I was in DJing and wanting to do all that. I can't do these things. That's just where I was at that time. And nobody had to tell me that. So many of you have similar life transformative stories, right? You may have taken your whole, now we call it today, like our CD collection, or today like an MP3 collection. I got to trash those things. Maybe that was you. For me, I had to give away stacks. At that time, thousands and thousands of records, which were worth tens of thousands of dollars. That's just where I was at the time. Give them all away. And a lot of my homeboy friends that were DJs were like, why are you doing this? I can't do this anymore. And some of my friends were like, I'll take them. Yeah. Now look at it now. Like, some of those are worth a lot of money now. Interesting to think. But my point is, you have a new life in Christ. And how is it you're going to walk out this new life? You got to do it with his new power that he gives you. Amen? And you'll find that in chapter 4, where we even learn that someone like me and others in churches, there's going to be pastors and teachers where it says, verse 12, Ephesians 4, verse 12, we're called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And in chapter 4, we might get into it in a little bit. Chapter 4, we learn that Jesus gives spiritual gifts. So how are you going to discover and walk in this calling of good works that Jesus Christ created for you, that he's been waiting since before Genesis 1 for you to walk in? Before the earth was created, he had a calling on your life. How can you do that? Through the spiritual gifts. Through the spiritual gifts. So that's our challenge. That's our problem, guys. So as we move into 2022, I do want to take this time to tell you and to communicate to you, like our vision moving forward into 2022 is basically to equip Christians to walk in God's calling. But part of that, God willing, we'll do in this service today. I'm going to have a time looking at what Paul teaches here, and we learn about his life, his ministry, his way, and especially what I believe the Holy Spirit's wanting for you and for me. The reason why he brought you in today, that you would focus on what his calling is on your life. Because he's got a call on your life, each and every one of you. But you need to answer that call with his power, with his strength, with his gifting. Amen? That's how you do it. That's how you do it. That's why we want to hand out these papers here. Okay, so as I pause on this, let me just tell you, as you have these handouts, pray through this. If you need help on this, as it says here, ask me. Okay, I'm here. I love talking to you about things like spiritual gifts, your calling with God, etc. But so in order for you to answer God's calling, just like the Ephesians wanted to, that we're reading about in Acts 19, and then later on, Paul would spend more time with these Ephesians. Later on, Paul would write a book that we call Ephesians. Later on, Jesus actually mentions them in the book of Revelation. The first church of the seven churches are the church at where? Ephesus. And then later on, Paul would pick and place Timothy there, his disciple. He would tell them, stay there. He wanted them to be an example and for him to teach and minister to and help the people of Ephesus. You see, this is why it's beautiful to read and study this here. So when a person asks things like, what happens when I receive the Holy Spirit? Maybe that was you. That certainly was me many times. I was just this big ball of confusion. Here's one of the things that will happen is God might give you spiritual gifts. We all love that, right? Some of us do. I know my wife. I get, you know, in marriage you get to know. Sometimes I'll play a trick on her. I'm like, honey, I think I have something for you. She's like, what? Where? She'll be like working on stuff. She's like, her accountants, everything. I call it like shaking the chain. If you ever have a dog, you know what I mean? Like you shake the chain. Want to go for a walk? Anybody with a dog? Or if you understand that, right? Shaking the chain. Honey, I got you something. Where is it? Oh, I'll give it to you sometime. Where is it? Like, she can't focus now. She's like going mentally crazy. Give me this gift. Oh, I'll just hide it. She's like, I'm going to find it. That's how my wife is. My point is, when you know that there's a gift waiting for you and you simply have to receive it, open it up, and use it, who wouldn't want to, right? That's why I praise God that he actually calls it a gift. All right, so verse 6 teaches us, look at this again, Acts 19, verse 6, when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to give you what we call the gift of tongues, or as what's listed here on this handout, various kinds of tongues, but he may. He may. Is that gift valid today? Yes. I'll just believe that it is. And it's a gifting that I believe God has given to me. He gives to people. Does he give it to everybody? According to Scripture, no. Not all have that gift. But there are many gifts. What happens when the Holy Spirit falls upon me, when I receive the Spirit? Call it what you want. One of the things is, according to verse 6, just like the Christians at Ephesus, you're going to get gifts of the Holy Spirit. Anybody here want a gift? I think you do. Right? When it's your birthday, you want a gift. Right? Usually. I know my kids are like, yes, what did you get me, Dad? Okay, so we're going to leave this simple today, but looking at this passage, Paul had laid hands on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. So God, I believe, I'll just believe by faith that God wants to give somebody here spiritual gifting. In a moment, we're going to keep this brief because we also have communion today as the first Sunday. And also the first Sunday, not just of the month, but of the year. And we can celebrate that and commemorate that with one another together. But in a little bit, I'm going to close out the teaching for today. We'll keep it short and sweet and simple. We'll have a time where we could do more musical worship. And if any of you want prayer, that you would also, like in verse 6, receive the Holy Spirit, I want to be able to pray for you. I don't know who that's for. Maybe it's one person. Maybe it's some. Maybe it's all of you. But we want to be able to do that. Okay, so in this church, we don't want to just read the Bible and teach the Bible and believe the Bible. We want to actually try to walk it out. Amen? Okay, so with your help, we'll be able to do that. But notice this here. We're even told the men were about 12 in all. We got more than 12 here. But not a really big group. It doesn't have to be a big group. Sometimes it's just one. Sometimes it's 12, like here. And then verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. By the way, if you want to be like the Apostle Paul and speak boldly, reasoning with people, not just speak boldly, I should say speak boldly about the things of God, teaching and preaching the word of God, speaking boldly even in the synagogues or on the streets, or gosh, even with your relatives. We need God's empowerment to speak with our relatives, amen? Reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God, guess what you need? God's power, amen? You and I need that. I'm a recipient of that, and I can tell you definitely, because I can tell when I'm just walking out in my flesh and when God's empowering me, there's a big and a distinct difference. I need that. And I praise God that he's done that in my life, and I believe he wants that for each and every one of us, including you. Not just Paul, not just the Ephesians, but for you and me. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So notice what Paul did, what we want to do also in this church. The whole focus is not on signs and wonders. The whole focus is not on only and just spiritual gifts. But notice, he spent 2 years with them. They started manifesting gifts of the Spirit. So you know, these people are born again. They didn't just believe in Jesus. They also received the Holy Spirit and his gifting. They need to be taught. They need to be fed. Amen? So he stayed 2 years with them. And later on, you could read in the book of Ephesians. We won't get to that now because of the lack of time. But I encourage you, read ahead in the book of Ephesians. And we're going to close out this time, keeping it short and sweet, as the first service of this year. It's our time too. And then we'll partake in a little moment later on, communion, for those that want to partake with us. I'm going to close with prayer. If we can get set up for the musical worship time, that'd be great. We're going to pray, and again, during our time of worship music in just a moment, if any of you want prayer, maybe it's that you would receive spiritual gifting, then I'm going to invite you simply to come up, and I want to be able to pray for you. Maybe you want prayer that you would discover and know your calling. You're going to need spiritual power and spiritual gifting to answer that call. Amen? You need that. Maybe you want to know how you are created in Christ Jesus for good works. What are those works? What are those gifts God wants you to receive? So let's go ahead and pray. And as soon as if we can get set up for time of worship, that'd be awesome. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, that someone like the Apostle Paul, that he went and he had this boldness, whether on the streets or the synagogues or in the marketplace, he simply wanted to declare your word. And he wanted people not just to believe in Jesus and not just get water baptized, but he wanted them to receive the Holy Spirit and receive that spiritual power and a spiritual gifting. And Lord, oh, we want that here today. We need that here and now. Lord, he also wanted to teach the people, even staying there for 2 years, teaching them. You want us also to be taught and fed your word, so we would not only know spiritual gifts, we would not only know that you have a calling, like you were teaching the people at Ephesus, but also we would discover the gifts. We would know how you speak. We would know how to hear from you, so we would know how you're trying to disciple us. Because you love us, God. And we need you so badly, Lord. We know this is the start of a new year, but we need you not just in this year. We need you daily, no matter what year, no matter what day of the week. But being that today is the first Sunday of 2022, we do want to start off this year right with you and with one another. And we ask you, Father, can you please speak to our hearts? Please empower us. Please give us spiritual gifting you desire us to have. We do ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.